没有哈 ，Thank you。
हरे कृष्ण जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो फर्स्ट चैप्टर 7 एंटाइटल्ड द सन ऑफ द्रोणापनिष्ठ श्लोक नंबर 21 एंड बिकॉज इट डजंट हैव परपट आई विल रीड 22 ऑन माय ओन श्लोक 21 विल ऑल सिंग टुगेदर ततः प्रादुष्कृतं तेजः प्रचंडं सर्वोति सर्वतो दिशं प्राणात् अपद अमिक्षेक्ष्य प्राणात् पदम अभिप्रेक्ष्य विष्णु जिष्णुर उवाच तत प्रादुष्कृतं तेजः प्रचंडं सर्वतो दिशं प्राणात् अपदम अभिप्रेक्ष्य विष्णुं जिष्णुरुवाच ततः प्रादुष्कृतं तेजः प्रचण्डं सर्वतो दिशम् प्राणादपदम् अभिप्रेक्ष्य विष्णुं जिष्णुरुवाच पदम अभिप्रेक्ष्य माताजी व्हाट मीनिंग ततः देयर आफ्टर प्रादुष्कृतम decimated tejah glare prachandam fierce sarvatah all around disham directions pranat apadam affecting life abhipreksha having observed it Vishnum unto the Lord Jishnuhu Arjun Uvacha said her in the past. Translation: Thereupon a glaring light spread in all directions. It was so fierce that Arjun thought his own life is in danger. And so he began to address Lord Krishna. So I'll text 22 myself, read the shloka, translation and purport. Arjuna uvacha, Krishna Krishna Mahabaho Bhaktanam Abhayankara Tvameko Dayamananam Apavargosi Sansrute. Translation: Arjuna said, O my Lord Krishna, O my Lord Shri Krishna, You are the almighty personality of Godhead. There is no limit to your different energies. Therefore, only you are competent to instill fearlessness in the hearts of your devotees. Everyone in the flames of material miseries can find the path of liberation in you only. Purport. Arjun was aware of the transcendental qualities of Lord Shri Krishna as he had already experienced them during the Kurukshetra war, in which both of them were present. Therefore, Arjuna's version of Lord Krishna is authoritative. Krishna is almighty and is especially the cause of fearlessness for the devotees. A devotee of the Lord is always fearless because of the protection given by the Lord. Material existence is something like a blazing fire in the forest, which can be extinguished by the mercy of the Lord Shri Krishna. The spiritual master is the mercy representative of the Lord. Therefore, a person burning in the flames of material existence may receive the rains of mercy of the Lord through the transparent medium of self-realization. Spiritual master. The spiritual master, by his words, can penetrate into the heart of suffering person and inject knowledge transcendental, which alone can extinguish the fire of material existence. Om Adnyan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Taru Bhishcha Kurpa Sindhu Vevacha Inanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I thank the authorities over here for giving me this seva of speaking on this Srimad Bhagavatam. We see the son of Dronacharya is being punished here, and the weapons were shot, and a big light and heat is spreading in all directions and appearing that it is taking away the life of all the living entities. Pranad apadam, taking away fears affecting the life of all living entities. And therefore Arjun went to Krishna and spoke the second shloka. He says that Krishna, you are almighty, you instill fearlessness in the hearts of devotees. So Srila Prabhupada here in the purport is telling two points. The first point is Arjun has a personal experience of Krishna's power just now, few days back. Actually, this is the end of war. After the war, immediately this incident happened. So few days back, recent experience of how Krishna is powerful and how by Krishna's all-powerful arrangement, Pandavas were protected and they won the war. Second point, which I would take a little more today, Srila Prabhupada is writing in the purport, is that this world is like blazing forest fire, we say in the morning, Mangalarti or Gurvashtak. Sansara Dava Nalalidha Loka Tranaya Karunya Ghana Ghanatvam. So this material world is like a blazing forest fire. And in this material world, if someone can save us, that is the mercy of the spiritual master. Spiritual masters, certainly we know Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, nowadays there is IDC course for that, Pratha Pradarshak Guru, all these technicalities. So also we see in the shloka where we pray Mangalacharan, we say Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Gurum, Vaishnavamscha. So we offer prayers to Guru. Gurun, the Shri Gurun is a plural word. It's not a singular word. And immediately after Guru, we are offering obeisances to Vaishnavamscha. Cha means and. So you and him. So both are together. So there are many gurus. There can be many gurus, many Shiksha gurus. Anyone who gives them some direction, like Srila Prabhupada, he got direction from that postman to print books. Prabhupada told, my guru is speaking through him. So that way, actually by the mercy of guru, our spiritual life can be successful by the mercy of Vaishnavas. There is one verse in Sri Vara Puran that there can be some doubt whether we can succeed in spiritual life by the mercy of Krishna or not. There can be some doubt. But there is no doubt whether we can succeed in spiritual life by the mercy of devotees. There is a shloka from Vara Puran, and this shloka is quoted by Lord Chaitanya himself. He says that in Gauri Lila. So therefore, the secret to spiritual progress is pleasing Guru and also the devotees. We had two glaring examples of great soul, Ishwar Puri pleasing. Today I will give references of many pastimes from Bhagavatam and Gaur Leela. And because of shortage of time, on each pastime we can speak for 1 or 2 hours. So I will not be speaking the pastime, but I will be just giving the references and moving ahead. So most of us know that how Ishwar Puri pleased, actually Ishwar Puri and Ramchandra Puri. Both spiritual master was Madhvendra Puri. But Ishwar Puri pleased Madhvendra Puri and he got a blessing that, and because of that he became a very advanced devotee and even the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Ramchandra Puri, because of some reasons, he displeased his guru, that is same Madhvendra Puri, same person. And same time, at the time of Madhvendra Puri passing away. Ishwar Puri pleased him by serving him and singing kirtan. And Madhvendra Puri got up and embraced him and told that, let Krishna be merciful to you, let you become a great devotee. And Ramchandra Puri also went at the same time. But he spoke some wrong words and he displeased Madhvendra Puri. And Madhvendra Puri told him to go away. So actually there can be 3 types of shishyas, which I heard. One is called Guru Sevi, another is Guru Bhogi, and another is Guru Tyagi. So Guru Sevi means one who serves spiritual master. We all should try to become that. Then somewhere in between is Guru Bhogi. He remains a disciple of spiritual master. He doesn't offend him, but he stays there to get all the material profits and benefits. See, spiritual masters might get some facilities, donation, or what it may be. So he stays there with the spiritual master to get the his Guru Bhogi. He's not serving Guru, but he's enjoying the facilities of Guru. He's not offending also, but he's not exactly serving, but he's doing something and getting food, clothing, like that. And third type is Guru Tyagi, who gives up Guru, doesn't follow his instruction. Guru means instruction. Otherwise, time is going to separate Guru from us. Physically, Guru may be in another place, may be in another place. But Guru Tyagi means to give the instructions of Guru. And therefore we see this Ramchandra Puri, he committed offense, where certainly he gave the instructions of his spiritual master, but his spiritual master also gave him up. He said, oh, there are some Bengali shlokas, that please, you go away from here. Don't stay in front of my eyes. And we see the results. Because of that, Ramchandra Puri developed the tendency to find faults with everyone else, to the limit that he went on and found faults with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. Not only find faults, he would first, say for example, he would first feed devotees a lot, personally, please take, please take, please take. So he made them act in some way, and then he would say, oh, they are such bad devotees, they are eating so much. But he only would force them to eat so much. So that was the reaction. So today, I would just go ahead and discuss some various angles of this topic of Vaishnava Aparad. Because it is a very important topic. It is called as Hathi Matta. It can destroy the garden of our spiritual life. We know the creeper, Bhakti Lata. At the same time, it is quite understood or misunderstood also. What exactly is Vaishnava Aparad? Some people say, "Arey, toh aparad hone wala hai, chhod do, we don't need to care." And some people just always keep on, they are like into some phobia. "Arey, Vaishnava Aparad will happen, I cannot do this. Vaishnava Aparad will happen, I cannot do that. Or if I go and do like this, if I say something like that, Vaishnava Aparad will happen." So you should all understand something in a proper perspective. So we'll discuss that today. So because of some shortage of time, I will go a bit fast. So when incident of Vaishnava Aparad has to happen, so Vaishnava Aparad can happen through body, like actions, through mind and words. But even in mind, if it has to happen, there has to be 2 persons. One who is committing that action or doing the action, and one who is taking it on himself. Means we can say one who is doing the aparad, or sometimes the upper, it may not be aparad, so I am telling action. So we'll just find out today what actions make it an aparad and when the actions doesn't make it an aparad. So I am using the word action. So somebody who is performing the action and somebody is on the receiving end of the action. It may be aparad, it may not be aparad. So we'll discuss that today. So first of all, there has to be 2 participants. One who is performing and one who is receiving. Within that also, there has to be 2 categories. We have to see the intention of performer. Whether performer has an intention to do aparad, like criticize or whatever it may be. Or he may not. I will come to the examples of all this. But please understand, the intention of performer is important. I might do an action which is like aparad, but it is not my intention.
For example, Yashoda Mata binding Krishna. It is like aparad, but it is not her intention. And on the other side, there can be perception also of the receiver or who is action is committing on, against. He may actually sometimes the aparad may be performed, the intention may be bad, but the receiver is mature enough and doesn't take the offense. He just doesn't take the offense. So how he perceives the act. And sometimes the intention may be very good and he is doing good things, but the receiver may feel bad and that maybe he may think, oh, that is, he may get feel hurt. Although the intention of the performer is very wonderful, he is doing seva of Krishna. But receiver may feel bad and there are reactions to that also. So basically there are two persons, performer and receiver, each has a intention to do aparad or intention to not do aparad, and perception, whether he perceives as aparad or he doesn't perceive as aparad. So there has to be four combination. Right intention, right perception, right intention, wrong perception. Wrong intention, right perception, wrong intention, wrong perception. So please be clear. In this aparad topic, there can be four permutations and combinations, and we are examples of all. The best certainly is right intention and right perception. That is a wonderful. That is actually the Vaishnava relation should be. Then second best is right intention and wrong perception. And third best, or from the third side, is wrong intention but right perception. And fourth is wrong intention and wrong perception. That is very bad. Like I will just end up this fourth one here. We know this, the arguments and cursing and counter cursing between the followers of Lord Shiva and in that Daksha Yajna. Both intentions were wrong and both perceptions were also wrong. You are cursing me, I will curse you. You are cursing me, I will curse you. So I will end this fourth category over here. I won't discuss that because I want to discuss what happens between, especially when the intentions are right. I won't discuss more on that. Because most of you are very thorough gentlemen and most of you doesn't have wrong intentions. But, so this fourth category I end here. Giving example of followers of Daksha and followers of Lord Shiva and cursing, counter-cursing that way. So anyway, so what makes the offense of these four, intentional perception, that will come a bit later. But what is exactly offense? What type of action is offense? So we have two definitions for that. One is the first one we all say in the 10 offenses, to blaspheme a devotee who has dedicated their lives for propagating the holy names of the Lord. And every devotee is propagating the holy name of the Lord, according to Srila Prabhupada. One is doing deity decoration, he is propagating holy names. Everyone. Even Saraswati, that small child, 6 months old, not 6 months, 3 years old, she was propagating holy name in Cross Maidan. So that way all devotees are propagating holy names. Some may be more advanced, some may be less advanced. But all are propagating holy names of the Lord. So basically this statement is to, actually we even heard Lord Chaitanya telling, who is a Vaishnava? It has that three levels. Anyone who chants holy name is a Vaishnava. Once. Lord Chaitanya says, Ek bar Krishna naam. Anyone who chants once holy name is a Vaishnava. Maybe Kanishtha Adhikari, but he is a Adhikari. And then second one who is regularly and third one is higher. So basically you have to be careful. And therefore it's a very important topic. At the same time we should not develop a phobia. And sometimes we should also learn today, if offense happens without our, there is no other option. What to do? We have to act in that way, but still it is perceived an offense. What we should do? So anyway, so one is to blaspheme devotees, but is another verse which I heard from Din Bandhu from Rundavan. He always quotes it. There are six types of mentalities which categorize as offense. Hanti nindanti vaidveshti vaishnava namna abhinandanti krudhyate yatino harshanam darshane patatam sat. What are the six types of mentalities? First one is really gross, hanti, to kill a devotee. We not much relevant to us. But sometimes we might do character assassination, that goes into criticizing. But still, nindanti, to criticize, verbal nindanti, or some print media, today's net media. Then, dveshti is in the mind, we envy. We don't speak it out, write it out, but we have that envy in the mind. Then Vaishnavanam Nabhinandanti. If you see a Vaishnava and if you don't do Abhinandan, greet them. You don't offer obeisances. Haribol Prabhuji. Because last week he did not give gulab jam. So that is offense. Whether he gave gulab jam or not may not be offense. But you not greeting him in spite of that is offense. So na abhinandanti. What are the reasons? What are the way the devotees may be behaving or not behaving? We have to greet. The reason is not mentioned. You greet because this and this happens, and you don't greet because this and this happens. If this and this happens and you don't greet, that is not an offense. No, we not greeting is an offense. We have to greet a Vaishnava. Krudhyate, if we become angry on a Vaishnava. Again, the reasons are not mentioned. If this devotee behaves this way, then you can get angry. Then that is no offense. Just getting angry on a Vaishnava. How the person opposite behaves is immaterial. Anyway, as per the Premnidhi prose, first follow-up Gita course, area of control and area of which is outside of control. So, in our control is whether we get angry or not. How the person in front behaves is not in our control. So, aparadh is if we get angry, krudhyate, and yatino harshanam darshane, if we don't be joyful within our heart just by looking at a devotee. All of you are so wonderful devotees and I can look at you. It's a joyful state. Now, if you don't become joyful because, you know, all some grudges and that is offense. So, the six things are offense. Now we'll go ahead. Within these six things, there are intention and perceptions. But these are the basic points of our today's discussion. So, I will just give two quick examples where apparently the action is offensive, but the intention is not offensive. These are examples done to Lord Krishna. Putana came to feed the milk. But that is offensive because she actually came to kill. But action was to feed the milk. Certainly Krishna is all merciful, so Putana went back to spiritual world. That's a different topic. But she came to feed the milk. And there are anukulena krishnanushilanam. It should be anukul. On the other hand, Yashoda Mata is binding Krishna, taking a stick in the hand and chastising Krishna. Krishna is getting fearful. But still we don't call it as a offense, and Putana's action is a offense, and therefore the shloka is said, Aho Bakiyam, like if Putana committed offense such a big degree, and Krishna, you are so merciful, even to Putana, so that was the offense. And Krishna is still merciful, that's Krishna's greatness. But Putana's offense is not excused, in the sense, doesn't get less in degree. So, having said that, we go to another example of Bhrugu Muni. Bhrugu Muni is in assembly of saints, and now the discussion is who is the Paratattva. So Bhrugu Muni has been given the seva to find out Paratattva. He has no intention to do offense to Brahma and Shiva and Vishnu, but his seva includes that. Sometimes we are in that situation. We have to do some seva and some devotees might get displeased, or we might have to wake up some devotees sleeping because something like that. Or once it happened with me, I was doing the sound system seva and the wires were going, but I won't name, but one videographer, he put his, all the stool with sharp edge on the wires, and I had to come and actually pull him down. Then I told Maharaj, this I have to do, what exactly? He said, yeah, miss, you can't allow the wires to get cut and the whole sound system to be disturbed in live program. So we are helpless sometimes. So Bhrugu Muni was given that seva and then he has to do it. To disrespect Brahma and Shiva and kick on the chest of Vishnu. But his main duty is to find out who is Paratattva. So, Bhrugu's intentions are very clear, not offensive at all. He respects every one of them. But he has to go and do some actions which are offensive in nature. So we see, and then ultimately he went to Vishnu and kicked him on the chest. How can we even think to do it? But Vishnu excused him. In perception was perfect. From Vishnu's perception was perfect. But I know actually third role comes in. Third person. Lakshmiji felt bad. And Lakshmiji thought, oh, Bhrugu Muni is doing offense. And she gave the curse. Brahmanas will never be wealthy. And Lakshmi won't come to their house. So we had to. So it's such a complex situation in one way. Bhrugu Muni was right. Vishnu did not feel bad. But Lakshmiji felt bad. So therefore, this is a case where intention is correct, perception is correct, but third person. So again, perception was second or third person. And there was some reaction. Reaction was there. Lakshmiji took it as offense, and there was some reaction. So now, before concluding, we have some more time. We'll take up two examples where offenses are performed intentionally. One example which you all know is Shobarimuni cursing Garuda. Shobarimuni was thinking these fishes are, he was having that some type of attachment or pride that I will protect these fishes. They are taking shelter of me. And Garuda, although he is a Vahan of Vishnu, I can curse him, I can restrict him. So that feeling was there. So when Garuda came to take a fish, Shobari cursed him. You cannot come in this and whatever it may be, you know all the story. And because of that, that is considered a Vaishnava aparad. We give the example of that. Because the intention was out of some proud, some illusion, not the right intention. Intention was a material intention to protect some fish to who is attached to. They are not Vaishnavas like that. So intention was wrong. And Garuda did not, but the curse happened. And Garuda did not curse back. See, Garuda did not feel bad. He said, okay, if you say, I won't come to this in the future. But still, because the intention was wrong, it was offense. And we know Shobari got the result that he went, okay, he saw two fishes mating and he came out and he married so many queens. Big diversion for many years he enjoyed with them. 49 or 50 princess, something like that. And then he realized and again came back to tapasya. So yes, Nihabhikama Nashvasti Pratyavayo Navidyate. Bhakti is never destroyed. By offense and his reactions, bhakti is obstructed or stopped for some long period of time. Maybe more long period of time. So that is there. Bhakti is never destroyed. But if we perform offense intentionally, bhakti gets either decreased or stopped altogether, at least for quite some time. So that is one example where offense was performed intentionally, although it was not perceived as offense, but a reaction happened. And the reaction was, bhakti was stopped for quite some time. Another small example, which Jiva Goswami clarifies in his book called Krama Sandarbha. I am not so scholar, Radhikavalapuru told me all the references of this Krama Sandarbha. He says, Agastya Muni and Indraduna Maharaj. Agastya Muni was meditating, and we see Bhagavatam telling Agastya Muni had these five qualities. He was dharmic and tapasvi and etc. And we hear that he did not welcome Indraduna Maharaj was meditating, and he was having all these qualities. He was dharmic king, he was tapasvi king, he was renounced king. Bhagavatam gives these were the qualities of Indradyumna Maharaj. They are correct. But then it is considered as a small, as an intentional offense. Because in Krama Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami says that Indradyumna Maharaj had understood that Agastya Muni is coming. But still he continued meditation. And also, Agastya Muni is Trikalajna. So he knew that Indradyumna Maharaj in the past has neglected Brahmanas. So that reaction also due. Agastya Muni did not feel bad. But Indradyumna Maharaj intentionally continued meditation instead of welcoming Agastya Muni. And some past neglect of Brahmanas also was there, with all the reaction was due. And therefore Agastya Muni cursed him to become an elephant. And in that elephant body, for many, many years, it is mentioned even that elephant enjoyed for many, many years. Yes, because Nihabhikama Nashvasti is there. In the end, bhakti came up. But it was obstructed. When the offense is performed intentionally, the bhakti will be obstructed for a long time. So there are two examples where offense was performed intentionally and bhakti was obstructed. Now we go to two examples where offenses was performed unintentionally. They did not perform offense, but perceiver felt it as offensive. So one example I already told Bhrigu Muni, but I will give some another examples. One famous example is of Chitraketu Maharaj. We know he knew the glories of Lord Shiva. He smiled at Shiva only saying that, see, only Shiva can do like this with his wife on his lap. He can speak lecture about renunciation to all the renowned sadhus. So that way he was smiling at Lord Shiva out of glories of Lord Shiva. There was some subtle mistake, very subtle, small mistake of Chitraketu Maharaj, which Acharya explained, is Chitraketu was thinking, he was not seeing that Shiva is faulty. He was not having any bad feeling. But he was thinking that I can smile at Shiva because I also have met Lord Shankarshan just few months back. Shiva, he did not think Shiva is doing mistake. But he thought, no, I am such a, I am a big soul that, okay, I am on the soul equal on Shiva, I can smile at him. Although his intention was good. Because of that, suddenly, Shiva could understand his intention, he did not feel bad, but Parvati again felt bad. And Parvati gave the curse that he will become Rakshas. But here, he became Rakshas, but his consciousness was not disturbed. Body of Rakshas. But he was always having Krishna consciousness maintained. So what we observe a difference, when the offense is perceived or action is performed with good intentions or right intentions, and if it is perceived as an offense, the reactions comes, but they don't disturb our consciousness totally. They may give you Rakshas birth, they may give you poverty, like Bhrugumani got poverty, all the Brahmanas, but actually that is a blessing. Namo akinchana vruttaya. Blessing. Yes, power. Narad Muni got curse. But anyway, that was Narad Muni's case is different, sorry. But Bhrugu Muni got a curse that Lakshmiji cursed him. Here, Parvati cursed. He will become Rakshasa. Wonderful. He became one of the best Bhagavatas. He spoke such wonderful shlokas. So many chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, we see no intention and there is something offense perceived. Reaction is there. So now we'll summarize and move ahead. Of this intention perception. Best, good intention, good perception. I will say the one example is like Rup Goswami telling Jiva Goswami to go out of Vrindavan. One way it's offense because there was no mistake of Jiva Goswami. But intention was right. And Jiva Goswami had totally no perception of offense. So that is how the Vaishnava Vyavahara should be. A good intention and good perception. Then good intention and wrong perception, there can be some material difficulties. Parikshit Maharaj getting a curse to die in 7 days. Or Bhrugu Muni getting cursed to become poor. Or Chetaketu Maharaj getting cursed to Rakshasa. But bhakti doesn't get broken. Bhakti continues, but some difficulties happen in our life. On a material level. Like one wonderful example which I just read after preparing for this lecture. That Lord Chaitanya, you know all, he went to Vrindavan. First time he attempted to go to Vrindavan, he did not. He went till Kanai, Nashala, Malda, Ramkeli and came back. So when he came back and met the devotees, he told, I could not go to Vrindavan. Why? See, Supreme Lord is supreme, independent, he can do anything. But still when he came back and he told the devotees, I could not go to Vrindavan because I displeased Gadadhar Pandit while going. If you know the story, Gadadhar Pandit was following him and Lord Chaitanya told, you cannot come. No, don't speak anything further. Please stay here. So Gadadhar Pandit fell down unconscious. So good intention, good perception, but still Gadadhar Pandit fell unconscious. So Lord Chaitanya is also telling. See, Lord Chaitanya has no other option also. He had to make Gadadhar Pandit stay back and maintain his Kshetra Sanyas vow. But still Lord Chaitanya is saying, because of this offense, I could not go to Vrindavan. But bhakti is not disturbed. Bhakti is not disturbed. You may not be able to go to Vrindavan. You may become a demon body or not a good birth next time or may become poor. But bhakti is not disturbed. But you will get some disturbances of material nature. If the intention is good. But it is perceived as an offense. And sometimes we see in like bhakti, especially in a sangha, we have to act sometimes when there is no option. Like Lord Chaitanya here had no option. And he got a reaction as per his words of not able to go to Vrindavan in the first attempt. Actually, sometimes in management, we have to take action against some devotee because he is not doing some rules and regulations or whatever it may be. And there is no option for that. The action has to be taken. But the intention of managers is very wonderful. It should be. How to decide? It depends on your consciousness. Especially for those who are in Sangha. In Sangha, this always happens. Management and your intention should not have even a tinge of these 6 tendencies which I spoke in the beginning. Hanti, Nindanti. You might have to take a disciplinary action against some devotee. Or you might have to speak some strict words to some devotees. But while doing that, before that or after that in your whole life, if any time you have this feeling, grudge, are this devotee does this mistake, that is offense, more serious, intentional offense. You are doing the action, may be perceived as offense or may not be. That is not your control. But if you have that feeling, this devotee is like that, if you criticize him, if you envy him, if you take some disciplinary action and you don't do abhinandan to him next time, अरे इसको तो मैंने ऐसे किया, हरी बोल के बोलना उधर देख लेने का, दैट इज ऑफेंस. न अभिनंदन इज ऑफेंस, बट समटाइम्स वी आर हेल्पलेस टू टेक सम एक्शन इन एसोसिएशन ऑफ डिवोटीज. हाउ द पर्सन परस्यूज इज नॉट इन अवर कंट्रोल. यस, सम रिएक्शन ऑफ मटेरियल डिस्टर्बेंस में हैपन, बट भक्ति विल नॉट बी डिस्टर्ब एट दैट टाइम. एंड इफ यू हैव रॉन्ग इंटेंशन, द परसेप्शन में बी गुड और रॉन्ग. If we are wrong intention, our bhakti will break for some period of time. We get the example of Shaubari Muni and like that. Just let me go ahead. So before we go ahead and summarize this section of our today's talk, I would like to make it very, 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 very like important and clear to all the devotees. Please, sometimes you might have performed some action, how somebody else behaves, not in your control, how somebody else pursues your action. In out of seva, like Bhrugu Muni had to do some actions. In your heart, we have to be very clear, we never develop these six tendencies of desiring to kill someone, criticize someone, envy someone, in spite of he doing any actions or we doing any action. Then, not greeting someone, harboring anger upon someone, or if someone behaves in some way, we feel angry on that devotee. That is offense. And we keep that anger. Oh, that day, this devotee did like that to me. That is offense. So, the six, if we have the six tendencies in our mind, that is offense. And after anger, if you look at that devotee, on the other side, suppose we are on the receiving end of management. Somebody is taking some discipline action on us. He is a wonderful devotee. And next time we see him and we don't feel joyful. Oh, Haribol, that devotee has come. That is an offense. Na darshane, na harshanam. So sometimes in discussion of this offense, we miss these 6 points and we just go on the external activities, the action which is required. We might be taking some actions against some devotees. Some devotee might be taking against us. But next time, or even not what to speak of next time, even that time, we should feel joyful at looking at a devotee. Darshane harshanam, na harshanam ne, harshanam. Next time we should not harbor any anger towards that devotee. We are on either side. Very difficult, but that is what is required. To not, sometimes we say, Prabhuji, I cannot do this action because that will commit offense. That is easy, Baba. To not harbor anger for whole life, irrespective of any action, is difficult, and that actually constitutes an offense. Just not doing an action and you still harbor anger. You may not do disciplinary action against someone and harbor anger against him for whole life. Hey, aisa karta hai, wo aisa karta hai, aisa karta hai. You criticize him, you speak to 10 people, and it is you to do like that. That is more offensive. Anyway, so we summarize this part and we move ahead to part 2. I have around 10 minutes with me. So, let me just see if I missed out some. And in fact, sometimes such unintentional pursued offenses can get us closer to Krishna. Krishna may use such incidences to give us nice relations, make us more tolerant. We see Lord Chaitanya even took actions against Chota Haridas. His was a small mistake. But Lord Chaitanya never had any bad feelings. He gave him supreme mercy. He accepted his sinking in a spiritual body after he ended his life. So he did not reject Chota Haridas. But the action has to be performed, that he cannot be in my association. I have to set the example. But no bad feelings. Lord Chaitanya accepted him as his personal servant of giving pleasure by singing spiritual songs in a spiritual body. So we have to understand, what is in our control is to correct our consciousness. That we have to be focused throughout our whole life. At the same time, some immature devotees, they misuse offense also. Sometimes seniors say, if you do like that, if you don't listen to me, that is offensive. People think, what is offense? Agar samne wala vyakti ne mere man jaise nahi kiya na, mere man ke jaise nahi kiya, to aparadh kar raha hai mere prati. And sometimes the junior feel, hey, Prabhuji, If you take such decisions, then you are committing offense to me. So they threaten, you are doing offense to me. Sometimes devotees behave that way. That is a very lot of immaturity. A devotee can never think that somebody can offend me. A mature devotee, he will think that I am tuchha. How can somebody ever offend me? That's just simply impossible. And sometimes if we see that actually somebody is misbehaving with you, we should just see that that is his immaturity. His immaturity should not affect our consciousness. If someone's immaturity affects our consciousness, then that is our immaturity. Like a child. Child may sometimes speak some wrong words, 2-3 years old child. And if you feel very bad, or this child spoke, then we are childish. We are not mature, even though we may be grown up. So somebody's immaturity affects us, then that means we are immature and we have to become mature. So that is more important. Okay. So part two of this lecture is interesting. I know I have to end by 9:20. I will try it. By 9:20, 9:22 I will end. So anyway. Now part two is, if we see a fault in devotees, it is actually a fault. Or we feel that it is a fault. Some devotee is doing faulty behavior. Small, big, anything. How should we behave? And a wonderful story is there in Chaitanya Bhagavat. When Lord Nityananda went to Navadvip from Puri, he started preaching. But he was like avdhut and having silken clothes and jewelry and sometimes going to the liquor houses to preach. So one Brahman from Navadvip, who was a friend of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he got confused. He was thinking that I am seeing fault, or this action of Lord Nityananda is confusing, faulty. Most important point, he did not come to judgment. What happens? The most mistake we do is we judge others by our mentality. We may see something, but we cannot come to conclusion. We should not judge. So what did this Brahmana did? He went from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a friend of his and also a friend of Nityananda Prabhu, who knows Nityananda Prabhu properly, and he also has a faith on Lord Chaitanya. See, that is so important. Rather than jumping on faulty conclusion of others, we should find the right person, because his perception is correct than our perception. So he went, and then he waited for 6 months there. And when Lord Chaitanya was alone, at the right time, he asked his doubts to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hey, Navadvip, Nityananda Prabhu is behaving this way, this way, this way. He's wearing silken clothes. He's called sannyasi. He's avdhut and jewelry. Oh, how to understand that? So, certainly, Lord Chaitanya told the glories of Nityananda Prabhu and no one should criticize him. But then, Lord, I would end my lecture in 5 minutes telling a very wonderful incident with Lord Chaitanya tells this Brahmana. How we should be careful to not judge devotees on our mentality. If we see some faults, we should go and hear others' perception. And sometimes the biggest mistake which we do, we go and hear others' perception and we still think, mera perception is correct, tum wrong bol rahe. Waisa hai hi nahi, aisa hi hai jaise main soch raha hu waise. But this Brahmana did not do that mistake. He accepted Lord Chaitanya's perception or the angle of vision. So Lord Chaitanya explained Nityananda, this Brahmana everything about the glories of Nityananda and everything. But then he said, please be careful. O Brahmana, if I will tell you one incident, how it is risky to judge others' behavior. You say, but it is faulty. But Nityananda was not faulty. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives an example where others' behavior was faulty. Nityananda's behavior is not faulty. Still, we should not judge. But somebody is doing faulty behavior. It is a faulty behavior. Then what should I do? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving that example. Where the behavior is faulty and if we judge him, what is the reaction? So he says, this story is told by Krishna himself to Balli Maharaj. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling this story to Brahmana. And this story is being told by Vrindavan Das Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavat, which was told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Brahmana, and which was told by Krishna to Balli Maharaj, which was spoken in Srimad Bhagavat by Sukadeva Goswami, and fortunately I am repeating it here today. So please understand. Many repetitions. In Srimad Bhagavatam, then Krishna to Bali Maharaj, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Brahmana, Vrindavan Das Thakur to all the audience, and some other I as humble servant to all of you. So, this story goes, when Krishna saved the son of his guru, brought back to life, and he came back to his home, Mathura. I'm telling that quickly. Devaki also requested Krishna, please bring back my 6 dead sons. So Krishna goes to Sutal Lok, because those dead sons were in Bali Maharaj's place. And Bali Maharaj welcomes and tells, oh Krishna, you have come, wonderful, what I can do? He said, I want these 6 sons, but please before that, oh Bali, I want to tell you the dangers of jeering or laughing or criticizing a devotee. These 6 sons, they are the sons of Brahmaji. They are yogis, tapasvis. Meditation is, they are not sense gratifier. They were doing tapasya, but they saw Brahmaji under the effect of some lust. And Krishna says, in a very astonishing way. Why astonishing? Because Brahmaji doesn't do something like that every day. Happens only once in a lifetime. So very astonishingly, Brahmaji once ran after his daughter out of influence of a lust. So is that a mistake? It is a mistake. Although it happened astonishingly. So Brahmaji's mistake was that Brahmaji realized he gave up his body. That's a different part. The 6 sons of Brahmaji, they laughed at him. They are rishis. They are Rishi Kumaras. They are rishis. But they laughed at Brahmaji. Even though Brahmaji was under the influence of lust. What happened? They took birth as grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. Kalnimi's sons. And again they went to please devotas. And Hiranyakashipu cursed them that I reject you. So first reaction, they became the grandsons of, they got birth in a family of Rakshasas. Second reaction, they were rejected by their grandfather. Third reaction, Indra killed them. A fourth reaction, as per the Hiranyakashipu's curse, next birth, their father Kalnimi became Kamsa. And they became the 6 sons in the womb of Devaki. And their father of the past birth, Kamsa, themselves killed those small babies. So much reaction going on. Just for laughing Brahmaji, who was under the influence of lust. That means Brahmaji was doing mistakes, still they laugh. That is a big reaction. So you may say, "Arey, Brahmaji ne to mistake kiya tha. Tumko hasne ko kisne bola?" Brahmaji ne mistake kiya to unka dekh lenge. Tum hase to tumhara mistake ho gaya. So you will get a reaction for that. So such a big reaction. Demon birth, cursed by a grandfather, killed by Indra in a very painful way. It is mentioned. In a very painful way, Indra killed them. Next birth, again their mama or previous birth, father killed them at a very young age. But somehow or other, Devaki had a mercy. So therefore, I told this story in short. Basically, Krishna says, my mother doesn't know it. Therefore, she wants these 6 sons. And as a son, I am come here to get it. But understand, Bali Maharaj, this is the reaction at laughing at devotees. Even though may be wrong or right, whether the devotees are wrong or right is immaterial. Because that is not in your control. Whether you laugh at that or not is in your control. So therefore, please be careful. Bali Maharaj thanks him. Thanks Krishna for wonderful instructions. Gives them the 6 sons. In short, they come back. They drink the milk of Devaki out of love. And now that's Mahaprasad because Krishna has drunk it. And that way they go back to their higher planets for performing tapasya. So bhakti doesn't break. But intentional offenses gives a big, big, big break in bhakti. Hare Krishna. I end here. I think I am on time. And I thank all the devotees for listening. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So because time is over, if anyone has any discussion or comments, we'll take after the mic is off.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna.